Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Isaiah. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Word of God, word of life. And we will now read the psalm responsively. You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, for so you provide for the earth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty.
May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy.
May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing. The second reading is from Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, through the body, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, and since they had no depths of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. And as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Storytellers have the ability to teach lessons with powerful clarity. Some stories hold so much clarity that everyone knows exactly what they mean. Other stories get fuzzy, opaque, difficult to interpret. Father Clem Metzger once pointed out that Jesus started out teaching by declaration. And when that wasn't working so well, Jesus taught by example. Yet there came a time when Jesus began to teach with stories, short stories, long stories. Many of the stories held clarity on the surface, but when the hearer listened deeper, the clarity faded, or at least surprised. Many teachers start out by trying to just tell their students what they need to know. Some teachers show their students what they want them to learn, and others tell stories. Dan Olson told stories. Most of the time, those stories didn't make sense. They sounded crazy. The story did not appear to connect in any way with the topic at hand. Yet when his pastoral care students listened deeply and long enough, Olson would round the bend and everything became clear in a new way. Even still, for some listeners, the meaning never became clear. Today, the church enters a part of Matthew's gospel that features stories. These stories use the device of comparison. Scriptures call such comparison stories parables. In the first century Jewish tradition, this form of story featured comparisons between two things to help people to see. The reign of God is like, the reign of heaven is like. Amy Jill Levine points out that when Jesus tells stories, he challenges his audience with whole new ways of looking at the world. The simple meaning hides the deeper meaning. Today, the sower. This sower casts seed in all kinds of places, on the path, in rocky places, among the thorny bramble, good soil. To the casual eye, three quarters of these scenarios represent wastefulness. Yet the sower casts the seed nonetheless. To the extent that the sower represents God casting seed in the world, this evokes a sense of great hope and confidence that the seed may sprout. Even seed picked up by a bird on the path has some kind of a chance. One conversation partner recently spoke of how plants just seem to appear in their yard. Others seem to migrate throughout the yard. They speculated in the conversation about the role of birds in these migrations of the seeds and plants. While the sower distributes the seed with abandon and hope, the seed itself has certain resilience. The seed seeks and finds where it can flourish. Sometimes the seed sprouts and grows and even produces in the most unlikely of places. Jesus tells his disciples that this seed is the word of the kingdom. The seed speaks gospel hope. The soil. Well, the soil presents an interesting conversation. Notes in the Jewish annotated New Testament talk about the reality that the soil cannot change. And indeed, consider that soil cannot in and of itself change from path to rocky to bramble to good soil. And while Jesus speaks of this is the one who in his explanations with respect to the various receivers of the word of the kingdom, one helpful way to look at it all grows from remembering that the first century culture focused less on individuals and more on community. In 21st century American minds, individuals obsess on whether they are good soil or not. Some may even hear this understanding that the soil cannot change and figure that whatever, there's nothing I can do. They have no way forward. The striking and hopeful place, piece of the puzzle comes from remembering that God created humanity. God saw humanity as very good. What God has created good cannot change. Now, human systems start to fail. They fail in caring for neighbor. They fail in love for one another. As the church pays attention to the absolute truth of God's abundant love and grace and forgiveness that extends to all circumstances, all soils, the church does well to remember that together, members of the body of Christ can affect change. Together, this congregation can serve as a force for good in the neighborhood, in the city, in the world. The church can seek to change the environment within which God's word falls so that people have the best chance to receive the seed of God's word. And having received that seed, people can bear fruit. The Gospels tell the faithful that bearing fruit represents the goal of the reign of God. For that, each one receives a commission. With this, all who worship can trust that with every fiber of their being, that God created them good. And from this, all who gather receive a commission to go out and work the soil so that it may produce more fruit. In this, the faithful go forth to spread the seed of God's good news in all kinds of places without judging whether that seed may bear fruit. All of this flows from the core truth that God's steadfast love endures forever. Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.